children of Israel were separated unto God. He set His love upon them, not because they were the most, but because they were the fewest, right? Deuteronomy 7:7. And as He led them out of Egypt, early on in the book of Exodus, He gave them some instructions to build what? Early on. You know, the tabernacle. The sanctuary. What was the difference between the tabernacle that they had in the wilderness on into the promised land and later on the temple that was constructed during the reign of Solomon?
Okay. Nearly as elegant as the temple.
Okay.
The temple was in Jerusalem's tabernacle,
So God was going to choose to place His name in a particular place, and they was going to have to erect a permanent, use that loosely because we know what took place with the temple, but a structure that was not like the tent, right? The tent was something that could easily be taken apart and carried through the wilderness. It should have only taken them how many years to get through the wilderness? A couple of years, maybe. But as a result of their unfaithfulness, they had to spend 40 years there. And so God gave then the instruction to build this tabernacle, this tent, this temporary dwelling that could easily be taken apart and carried by particular people until they reached the promised land. So I think about the temple and some of the similarities between the temple and the church. In fact, we looked at a lot of those in the book of Hebrews, some of the contrast between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, Exodus 25, verses 8 and 9, if someone can turn there and read that for us. Exodus 25, verses 8 and 9.
Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you. That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it.
To make it according to what? The pattern. We're going to talk about that more in just a moment, but we do ourselves a favor to point out the fact that they had to make it according to the instruction that was given. Were they at liberty to alter that instruction? How do you know that? He didn't say not to alter the instruction.
Make it according to the pattern. Pretty close.
It's pretty clear. They said, make it according to the pattern that I show you or that's been given to you. They were not at liberty to say, well, we think that it'd work better if it was this way or that way. That wouldn't have worked. Then Leviticus 26 and in verse 11, this first point, just sub-point, just pointing out to us that God dwelled with him in this tabernacle, this physical dwelling place. Leviticus 26, 11 and 12.
Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people.
Yeah. Similarly, that's stated in the New Testament, as we'll look at in just a moment, verse 12. But notice in verse 11, he says, I will set my tabernacle among you. And then Deuteronomy 12, verse 5. Very simple points that God was with the children of Israel. He was going to dwell with them. He gave them the instructions for this physical temple. And they had the responsibility of building it.
You shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put His name for His dwelling place, and there you shall go.
We know this far down, obviously, that the place that God chose was where? Yeah. The city of David, right? Jerusalem. Now, you remember before the or the splitting of the kingdom, one of the reasons, or the reason that they were, or that it kind of led into, was that what the king had decided that they could go to two places. Remember? What did Jeroboam say? Yeah. Why did he do that?
Because
he was afraid that their heart would be turned back to follow after Rehoboam. And so he said, it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Makes a good thought for a sermon. Is it too much for you? And so as a result of that, what did he do? Yeah, two different places, right? The north and the south. And told the people, you can go to either one. Take your pick. Did that work then? Yeah. And then in the temple that was again built by Solomon. How long did this temple take to make? Yeah, that's right. I've told you before that I've been impressed with, as we read on the sacrifices that was made at the dedication of the temple. It would have been neat to have seen what that temple would have looked like. The magnificence of it, the grandeur of it, as someone earlier put. Someone read for us 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 16.
The Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple of sacrifice. If I close the sky until there is no rain, or if I command the grasshopper to consume the land, or if I send pestilence on my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. My eyes will now be open and my ears attentive to prayer from this place. And I have now chosen and consecrated the temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there at all times.
Again, another reference for you might want to put in your book is 1 Kings 6 and in verse 38, talking about the construction of the temple. And the passage that James read for us, I think about Daniel being questioned about his religion. They, of course, thought that they would have no problem with Daniel except they found it against him and his religion. And yet, three times a day, what did he do? The Bible says, as at other times. Yeah, why did he do that? Suppose he could have prayed facing anywhere, but on more than one occasion you find them talking about when we're gone into captivity or we're in a foreign place, when we pray back toward this place and God hear the prayers of your servants. Daniel comes to mind when you think about that. God's name recorded there, Exodus 20 and in verse 24. But then we come to the New Testament as you think about the kingdom, the household, the body, the temple of God. It's important for us to look at the Old Testament as we just did to get before our minds what the temple was to them and God's name being there, God dwelling among them in the tabernacle of the congregation or the temple that was made by Solomon. So in the New Testament, when he talks about the temple, we can better understand what he's talking about. We've already made the point in lessons gone by that it was not a physical, that the church is not, the kingdom is not a physical kingdom. Is the temple of God physical today? It's not, right? Then it was. Today it's not. And we'll see that. These verses bear that out. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20.
For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them.
Okay. Now, your book doesn't make it, but that is a takes it, even among brethren from time to time, but it's lifted out of its context. In the context of this, what's he talking about?
He's talking about trespassing.
Yeah. Now, that's right. What is not under discussion in the immediate context is low church membership. That's not what he's talking about, but a lot of times you have this in reference to them, people making the point for that. But the point that he's making, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. What's the point behind that?
Like in the temple before, he hears their prayers.
Okay.
He's with them.
I'm in the midst, like we talked about last week. I see, I know, I hear. But also when he talks about in my name, what's that mean? By his authority, right? You do what's right. We have fellowship with God and with Christ as long as we walk in the light. He's in the midst as long as we walk according to the ways of truth. Revelation 2:13. Someone asked the question, well, he was with the children of Israel under the Jewish economy, under the Old Testament law. Is he with his people today? Revelation 2:13. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. So God, again, knows the affairs of His people. Someone read for us Colossians 3:17. You probably have that memorized. We just talked about authority, right?
And whatever you do, whatever be, you belong in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God and the Father.
That's right. Do all, not some, part, or few, but all things. God's name recorded in the church. By the way, before Acts chapter 11, Christians were referred to as what? Remember Acts 11:26. Disciples were called. I know you know that. Before that, they were referred to as disciples. The church. But then they were called Christians first at Antioch. How many times is that word found in the New Testament? Christian, you think about having being Christ-like. That'd be a good challenge for you before next week. Find the places where the word Christian is found. Not many times. God's name recorded in the church. That's right. Don't give it away. Number two, a spiritual building in which the Spirit of God dwells. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 9. We are laborers together with who? With God. It's joint effort with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. And then drop down to verses 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Someone asked you, do you believe that the Spirit dwells a Christian? How do you respond to that? Yes. But again, as we've talked about lessons past, the question is, that's right, how? How does He do that? The Bible also says that the Father and the Son dwells in us. If it's a physical, personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, how does that work with the Father and with the Son? Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which, what? What's he say? Temple are me, or you. Who's he writing to? He's writing to Christians, people just like you that's obeyed the gospel of Christ. And now he's writing to them and saying, you're the temple. The Spirit dwells in the temple. Which temple are you? Any questions or thoughts about that? Comments about that? Another way to approach that, by the way, is ask someone what the Spirit does for you if He dwells in you. You can always find a Bible verse where it talks about whatever they may give you is accomplished by the Word of God. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22.
So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple of the Lord.
Yeah. The whole building fitly framed together groweth into what? A holy temple. That's what we're talking about. The church being the temple this side of the cross. This dispensation. Who's the foundation? Okay. Who's the cornerstone? Christ. Now, relative to the foundation, who does he say the foundation is?
Apostles and prophets.
Apostles and prophets. Is Jesus the foundation? Remember 1 Corinthians 3:11. I just say that to provoke your thinking about that. Someone ever want to allege that that's a Bible contradiction? 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is? Yeah. How do you reconcile that? Okay.
It's His word that they were the foundation.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Any contradictions in the Bible? No. Now there may be some that we have to study, and not some contradictions, but some alleged contradictions, and we may not know how to address or answer, but we can study those because we know that the Word of God doesn't contradict. At any point.
John, when you look at the chief cornerstone, we have reference to Christ's death, His burial, resurrection, and ascension to the throne of God, about a holy rule, as far as the foundation is based upon His teachings.
Okay.
If He does teachings right here on earth, it's, mm-hmm. the chief cornerstone was based upon His resurrection. Mm-hmm. He said it's right into God, He's the cornerstone.
Okay.
It's that teaching together.
Okay. Yeah. And fulfilled all that the prophets had said concerning Him.
The cornerstone is the foundation. It is the starting point of the foundation. It is the
good.
The resurrection was the starting point.
Good. Notice these building words that he talks about. Built upon, he says, foundation. Chief cornerstone. Verse 21. Building. Fitly framed together. Groweth into a holy temple, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So, again, the idea of this structure, this temple, though not physical, but spiritual. Christ and apostles, the foundation. Point four. Isaiah 28:16, this prophecy concerning that. I've talked with you about 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, and Ephesians 2, and then verse 20 that we just made reference to. I suppose we could build upon anything that we wanted to. You think we could? Well, I suppose we could, but that wouldn't be right. And a lot of people do. Individually, everyone's building. Remember the two builders, Matthew chapter 7? But you don't build on a sure foundation, what happens? Yeah, it's not going to stand. And so Jesus, the apostles, the prophets, identifies the foundation, the teaching, the prophecies that they gave. Who Jesus is and what He did. Christians, the stones built together into the temple of God. We've already read that reference. I really like the way that Peter puts it in 1 Peter. We turn to that passage and let's read that together. 1 Peter chapter 2 and then verse 5. I already talked about a living stone in verse 4. Verse 5, He also as lively stones, some versions may say living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Do we do that today? Do we offer up spiritual sacrifices? When and how do we do that? Good.
Mentions later on, I think he talks about the fruit of the lips or the praise
from our lips. Okay. In verses 6 and then 9 through 10. Verse 6.
Things that He says that are high, the righteousness, the mercy, and the judgment, all the same. That's with whoever we're with. It don't have to be just in this building. That's a spiritual. It's not a physical sacrifice like the children of Israel. It was all physical stuff for sacrifices.
And what we do when we come together, again, is spiritual. Right? It's our spiritual sacrifices. Let me ask you a question this way. This is not a trick. By the way, nothing I ask you is a trick question. I just want you to think about this. Am I the church? Am I the temple? I see shakes and nods.
You're part of it.
Okay. If I do something, that's not the church doing it, by the way. That's an individual member doing whatever that might be. When we gather together, we worship God in spirit and truth. If that's not the case, I could just sit at home and do just as much as I could come out here and do. You see my point about that? There's things that we have to do collectively that I can't do as an individual sitting at home or sitting wherever. I don't have to be at home, but whatever the case may be. And so we're members of the body. I'm not the body. We're the body. I'm a member. Now you're a member. Don't forget that point. Verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And so Christians are the stones built together into the temple of God, where we can worship God in spirit and in truth. Right? John 4:24, God seeks for individuals to worship Him according to that direction, in spirit and in truth. Any thoughts about that? Comments about that? Unbelievers and disobedient cannot be stones, 1 Peter 2:7-8. Watch the word cannot. I understand what he's talking about. I'm sure that you do as well. They can be if they obey, in which they would no longer be an unbeliever or disobedient. Right? But so long as they remain in their sin, they can acceptably serve God. No matter what the sin is, no matter to what the degree is. That severs my relationship with God until I remove that. Till that's removed, washed away in the Lamb's blood. There's a reference for that. Strength of the building depends upon stones being securely cemented and built together in peace and love. It goes back to what was pointed out last week. Someone mentioned about love and so forth. What we do, love ought to motivate us to do the things that we do. And point three, which I realize I skipped over that, but must be built according to God's plan. It matters what we come together to do and how we do it. We live in a world today that charges members of the Church of Christ of being, well, you folks are just legalistic. You're just all about rules. You're just all about marking it off the checklist. Does it matter about the rules? And by the way, if we follow the rules of God, going back to what Mike said, if we follow what God tells us to do according to His Word, that doesn't negate the mercy of God or the love of God or the long-suffering of God or the patience of God. We still have to do what God tells us to do. We do it in a different way in which the children of Israel did. Do things differently, living under a different law. It's amazing to me that individuals who say that we're so dogmatic about doing it a particular way are so dogmatic about us being dogmatic about it. I can't figure that out, but anyway, it has to be according to God's plan. It was in the Old Testament. Build it according to the pattern. Do it according to the way that I show you. In the New Testament, who has all authority? Jesus does. I don't have the authority to say, well, you know, we've tried this for so long, people just aren't coming, let's just change things around a little bit. Let's just do away with a cappella singing, let's just put an instrument here, whatever the case may be, let's add on to the building and put a kitchen out there and hamburger them in. But that happens a lot. We see that the plan must be followed. Or the standard on the judgment day is going to be what? God's Word. Surely He expects us to abide then by His Word. In some areas or all areas? All. God's plan for New Testament church is found in the New Testament Scriptures. You don't go back to the Old Testament to find out how to become a Christian. Why not? Won't tell you, right? Won't tell you. Noah was a good person, found grace in the eyes of God, favor. Abraham was a good person, obedient, among those that are listed in Hebrews 11 as dying in faith. And on down the line, David is described as a person who is after God's own heart. But yet, not a one of them was a Christian. Not a one of them was a member of the body of Christ. And so, you have to say this side, the cross, to find out about how to obey the gospel, how to worship God, the organization of the church, all these things we'll talk about in time to come. I like this. I think I use this as a sermon here, maybe not here, it was elsewhere, but you can just put that on the screen and preach, it'll lather. God's spiritual house, the church, the truth, the apostles and prophets, all these things we've talked about how to get into the church, what one must do in order to become a Christian. Right. Some may say, well, that just seems so simplistic. I agree with you. It's pretty simple. Nothing we've talked about in these five lessons thus far have been difficult to understand. What is God's temple in the world today? The church. Anybody put anything other than the church, other than the people of God? Where has God's name been recorded? today. Goes back up to number one in your lesson.
In a church.
Yeah. Among his people. That's where it was quoted in the Old Testament. Among his people. Where must the people of God come to today to worship? Among God's people. Among the temple to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And so if that's where it's to be offered, then I just simply cannot do that elsewhere. Right? What kind of building is the temple of God today? Who inhabits God's temple? Okay. We are the temple, right? But your lesson points out that who dwells in the temple? Yeah, the Spirit of God does. Who are the stones in God's temple? Now the question, the answer you just gave a moment ago. Now the Christians, what Peter's writing about. How does one become a stone in the temple? Yeah. Obedience, obeying the gospel, right? Can one be a stone in God's temple without being a Christian? What I appreciate about these lessons as we're getting ready to close, but is the fact that they're just so logical. If you answer them correctly, it kind of leads you right into the answer of the next. Therefore, can one be a stone in God's temple without being a member of the church? So, perish the thinking that says, well, I obey the gospel and I'd be a Christian and never be a member of the church. The Bible doesn't sustain that. It's saying you don't have to be it. The temple, you don't have to be a living stone. Where can the plan of God's temple be found? Is it important that God's plan be followed in the building of His temple today? Remember, Psalm 127:1, except the Lord, what? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Upon what does the strength of the temple depend?
Christ, the chief cornerstone. Him and the foundation of the apostles.
Okay. The lesson talked about love and about unity being cemented together and love and unity and so forth. Can acceptable sacrifices and worship be offered elsewhere than in the temple? And it's not talking about this building. We've already identified the temple of the people. Yes, no. What'd you put there? No. Number 14, what feature of the church is emphasized in this figure? Temple, pattern, sacrifices, and so forth. Appreciate your good attention.